Hey, what's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right, it is Wednesday. I was going to get the date right eventually. It's Wednesday, June the 22nd, 2016, and Take the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a wonderful show for you today. That's right, today's conversation, this should be good. Is God keeping something from you? Is God keeping something from you? Man, I am excited about this show. Man, let me give the rundown real quick. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio today, all by myself. Why am I in the studio by myself? Well, hey, you know what? When you work with pastors, and if you didn't know this, there are two pastors that are always in studio with me. One is my brother, co-host of the show, Pastor Devon Winder, and then our guest host who comes in all the time on Wednesdays. I shouldn't even call him a guest anymore because he's not, Pastor Michael Henderson. He called in. He could not be here on today because he had an emergency with a member. When there's emergency with a member, good pastors go see about their members. Good pastors go see about their members. So we got a good show. Got a good show for you today, and I'm just excited about it. We're going to just talk about some good stuff today. So again, today's conversation, we're going to hit that in a little while. Is God keeping something from you? Is God keeping something from you? That's today's conversation. But let me give you a rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening, meaning you've already dialed in on your phone line, just push 1 and you can be a part of the show with your questions and your comments. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804, and you can be a part of the show. If you are on social media, so are we. You can find us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can find us there as well. If you are on Twitter, you can find us on Twitter. You can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio and find us right there as well. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, and you can find us there as well. If you want to watch the show, we are on everywhere today, right? We are on everywhere. We are on Ustream. Go to Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with, find the channel rather, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. If you want to watch on Facebook, Facebook Live is, I think, hey, y'all, yeah. Oh, man, y'all already in the room. Bless the Lord. Facebook Live is on and popping already. Facebook Live is on. I see y'all already on Facebook. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Man, ooh, we got some people in the audience. I guess that means I'm supposed to behave because I see some names I normally don't see. Whatever. Y'all pray for me. Anyway, let's just keep it going. But if you're on Facebook, you can go to Facebook. Let me make sure I share that with the Facebook page, with the TTLO Facebook page. But if you go to facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you will find us there as well. Amen, amen, amen. And last but not least, if you have iTunes, you want to download the podcast of the show, all of our shows, all the way back to the first show. Y'all remember that first show we did? It was terrible. It was good and terrible, but that show is still loaded. If you want to go all the way back, if you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, you can get us on iTunes. Simply do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there on iTunes. And we'd love to have you as a member. It doesn't cost you anything. iTunes is free. The podcast is free. So just simply go to iTunes, do a search once again for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Amen, 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 amen. Man, look, it's good. It's a good day. It's a little rainy. It was raining when I was on my way here, and now the sun is shining a little bit. And you know, it's all good. I ain't going to complain. Ain't no sense in complaining, but we all good. I am excited about what's happening. Man, the only reason I'm upset a little bit about the rain is because we won't get a chance. I think most of our corner initiatives today are probably going to be set back because of the rain and possible thunderstorms and stuff like that. But if it changes, we will know about it. But real quick, I'm sorry. If you want to watch on Facebook, you got two options. You can go to my personal page. You can go to my personal page, which most of you guys are already on, or you can go to the Taking the Limits Off Facebook page, TTLO, facebook.com/TTLO radio, and you can find us there. Amen. Amen. So here, check this out. So, man, a lot of stuff going on. Once again, big shout out. We want to send out prayers to the member of Second Baptist, whoever that is, that Michael had to go see, Pastor Henderson had to go see in the hospital. And shout out to my brother, Pastor Winder, who is doing his thing as a pastor. They have afternoon, Wednesday afternoon Bible studies. And so when we talked, you know, I let him know, hey, absolutely, this is, you know, that comes first, the education, and he's a new pastor, so he needs to be there on Wednesday for that afternoon service. So I'm glad he's able to do that, and everything is still able to go on as normal. So we want to keep shout out to them over at the No Ordinary Church, the NOC. Big shout out to them over there. Amen. This is good. So look, in the news, I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I'm trying to operate two computers here at the same time. This is going to be fun. In the news, I don't know if you guys saw this. So, you know, they tried to pass some gun laws the other day. They tried to put some laws to the floor. The Democrats in the Senate and in the House tried to put some gun laws on the floor to restrict, once again, the purchase of semi-automatic weapons. Mainly meaning those high-capacity weapons like the ones that were used in Orlando, the ones that were used in Columbine, the ones that were used in Aurora, Colorado, the ones that were used in San Bernardino, California. They tried to put laws on the books. But once again, in case you weren't paying attention, our lovely friends on the other side of the aisle, the Republicans, decided no, they were not going to allow this to happen. And then we later found out that that's because the NRA, National Rifle Association, you know, who fights any and all gun laws. That's their whole purpose, is to fight any and all gun laws. They, you know, pretty much paid off, and I'll say it, they paid off enough Republicans so as to not bring this bill to the floor. So they didn't even get a chance to vote on it. And it's unfortunate, man. It really is. It's unfortunate that this is where we are, and we have all these people who've lost their lives, and lives could have been saved had people not been allowed to buy this type of weapons. Lives could have been changed. Lives could have been saved had that been the case. And once again, you know, I'll tell this to people. This is why I get so upset when we as black people don't vote. This is why I get upset, because you have a chance to change the laws. Marching on the street, Black Lives Matter, and doing all that, that's wonderful. But it's not going to change anything unless you can get laws changed. So I wish, this is my issue. I wish the Black Lives Matter people would put the same push behind their people when it comes time to vote. Because see, here's my problem. I enjoy watching the protest. But my issue is, if you can get 200,000-300,000 people, black folk, in the city of Chicago to show up and march down the streets of Michigan Avenue, you can't rally them same folks to the voting booth. You can't rally those same folks to the voting booth to talk about black. Because if Black Lives Matter, you know what? If Black Lives Matter, you'd vote. You would go out and vote if Black Lives Matter. That's just me. If you really thought that you was going to change something by just marching in the street, yeah, you bring some attention to it. But laws have to be changed. And the only way you can get laws changed is by voting. The only way you get people to enact the laws that you want is to put the people in office who want the same things that you do and vote out the ones that don't. Huh? I mean, help me. Help me understand, how is it that in all of the time, it's just like, you know, everybody's complaining about Rahm Emanuel in the city. Everybody's complaining about Rahm Emanuel in the city of Chicago. Okay, I get that. But here is an issue. None of y'all showed up to vote when it was time to get. If you really wanted Rahm out, you could have got up and voted. But the problem is, we didn't have a viable candidate. And I'm not going to stay on this too long, but y'all know we didn't have a viable candidate. Chewy Garcia didn't know what the hell he was doing. And Dr. Willie Wilson was a complete idiot. Huh? Y'all know I ain't lying. Chewy didn't know what he was doing. He didn't really know what he was doing. And Dr. Willie Wilson, and yes, I called him back his PhD name, Dr. Willie Wilson was a complete idiot who could barely speak any type of English. And y'all didn't have anybody to vote for, so you let Rahm get right back in there. So once again, this is where we are. And it makes absolutely no sense, but what can we do with that? What can we do with that? So if you want laws changed, I advise you, and this is where the church used to play. The church used to play an intricate role. And remember, when I say the church, I mean the whole church, not just a church, because I know how some of y'all be listening. And then I got all these folk watching and listening everywhere, so you make sure I say this properly. When I say the church, I mean the whole church. The church proper used to be very influential when it came to politics. You couldn't run for alderman. You couldn't run for nothing if the church didn't approve it. You couldn't open a store. You couldn't do any other things that they do in communities now if the church didn't approve it. But now you have stuff, people show up, and then you got these politicians that just want to show up in your church when election time, because you notice you don't see them when ain't nothing going on. You do know that, right? We don't see politicians when it's not election time. At least not the local ones. But then we let them come in our church and get 5 minutes. Can I get 10 minutes, Doc? And then they don't want to stay for the whole service because, see, they got 4 and 5 churches they have to visit. So you on the list. Anyway, let's keep it moving. So let's talk about this. So in the news, and I don't know if you guys saw this, there is this play. In the news, it's called Hamilton. It is like sparking debate and it's good conversation and everybody is talking about it and everybody's excited about it and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, it is hitting Chicago. The tickets went on sale yesterday. And the Hamilton, and we're talking about, it's all about Hamilton, our president. Was it George? Yeah, I think that's his name, George. Yeah, George Hamilton. You know, the dude on the $10 bill. That brother, in case y'all didn't know, it's that brother that's on the $10 bill. Well, they have a whole play that's been going for about the last 4 months or whatever, and it has won like every major award, and the tickets are ridiculous. I'm reading right now in the Tribune that Hamilton tickets in the secondary markets have reached $10,000 for a ticket or for a pair. $10,000 for one ticket to go see some dudes dressed up in the, what is it, 1700? Yeah, in the 1700s. Now, it's a hip hopera is what it's being called. A hip hopera. Hip hop and opera for my people on the yellow bus. But that's what the play is, and I'm trying to understand. It looks like it's good. I have no interest myself. But I know a lot of people. I saw people online yesterday. I was talking this morning. I heard some people. The website was crashing. People were trying to get it. Then they had a line downtown yesterday that went around 4 city blocks. And I ain't talking about our neighborhood blocks. I'm talking about them downtown blocks. 4 blocks. People were standing in line trying to get Hamilton tickets. Now watch this. The people in line who got their tickets, they only paid they got tickets for as low as $65. But if you want them good seats, like I went on StubHub yesterday just to see if I was able to get some tickets, and I would have been able to get some, but I'm really not interested in going, just to be honest with y'all. I'm not really interested in going. They had tickets available for the low price of $6.95. Now, let me ask y'all this question. I tried to rack in my brain, what's the most I would pay to go see something or someone in concert? So help me with this real quick. If you could chime in. I see y'all watching on Facebook, y'all on Ustream. Put that back up because I can't see. Okay, good. Those of you on Ustream, this is your chance to participate. You can either email me, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. If you're watching on Facebook Live, type in the comments. What would you pay to go see $600? What would you spend $600? First of all, would you spend $600? I got somebody sitting in the studio right now. I know he ain't spending $600 on nothing. At least not to go see nobody sing. My good silent partner has joined me over there. How are you, sir? You good? That's good. I'm going to call him Silent Bob. what would you pay $600 to go see? Now, there's only a few artists. Let me tell you this. The artists that I would pay big money to go see are all dead. I'm serious. All the artists that I would pay over $300 for a ticket, the most I've ever paid for a ticket, a single ticket before, was to see I saw Jay-Z and Beyonce when they were here together a few years ago, the first time at the United Center, way back when. I don't know if y'all remember that. I ain't talking about these Soldier Field ones. I'm talking about the United Center. And those tickets it wasn't Beyonce. I'm sorry. It was Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige. Thank you. Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige. I had to get that in my memory. Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige. I saw them at the United Center, and those tickets were $175 a piece. Now, mind you, they were $175 a piece. And I got them because they were somebody's box seats that I purchased from them at the United Center. But those tickets were going ridiculous for ridiculous amounts. So I'm going to ask the question. If you're watching on Facebook Live, just type in the comments. What would you pay over $400 to go see? And is there anybody you would pay $600 to go see? And I know this is a Christian radio show. If any one of y'all type Jesus, you just need to just go ahead on and find y'all. Go eat breakfast. just go eat breakfast. If any one of y'all crazy enough to type, just go eat breakfast. I would definitely pay, Felicia LaShawn says, I would definitely pay big money to see Sade. Sadie, you going to pay money to see Sade? Ain't she depressing? Why y'all going to spend all that money to go see Sade? Every song she sing is about some dude that left her or something. Well, I know she fine, Doc. But still, she's depressing. All of her music is depressing. Beyonce, really? Ashley, Beyonce? No, okay. I get it, but I don't know. And Anita Baker. I paid big money to see Anita Baker back in the day. I ain't going to pay big money to see Anita Baker now. And Anita Baker always sings like she got marbles in her cheeks. This is why they don't let me do the show by myself. You see what happens? Just lose it completely. But I ain't trying to go. See, now y'all finna go in. Now, Felicia, I have nothing to do with these Beyonce people. But what I have learned is you don't talk about Beyonce on the internet because, see, Beyonce is up there with them peoples. Y'all know them peoples, the peoples with the triangles and the eye and them peoples. You know, when you talk about Beyonce, them people come out. They, what they call them, the beehive? Is that what they call them? They like, so, you know, I try not to say too much about, because you just put on here you would only pay $6 for Beyonce. Okay. That's between you and the Beyonce fans. look at that. The minute you say Beyonce, people come out the woodwork. This is why I don't deal with y'all. Let me open up the chat room on Ustream, because I forgot. The people over here too, right? Yeah, chat room, Ustream, boom. All right. Ustream chat room is open too. And Tanya, keep your eye on the email because I can't. It's too much stuff happening right here. People typing on Facebook. I can't. Let's see. Yolanda, what did she say? I can't think of anyone that I'd pay $600 to go see. The most I would pay for a ticket is $175. Okay. Right. Right now, all of the artists, like, I would pay $200-$300 to go see Prince if I could go see Prince. I would spend $200-$300 to go see Michael. I would spend $200-$300 to go see Luther. That's it. I'm sorry. All them gone. I would pay $200-$300 to go see James Brown if I could. But I ain't paying for these current people. I'm good. I'm good. I know y'all gonna say that's because they're old school. You know what? No, it's just that they don't need my $600. Shoot. They don't need it. But anyway, this Hamilton thing has like It is huge. So downtown today, you guys ever know what the Civic Opera House is? The play is not at the Civic Opera House. It's at another theater. But apparently people didn't read. So the Civic Opera House puts a big sign up on their marquee saying, Hamilton tickets are not available here because the play is not here. That's what they put up on their marquee at the Civic Opera House. Now, to me, that sounds like a little shade that they upset that the play is not at their place. Because what type of theater puts the name of another play up on their marquee that they're not having? But literally, if you go online right now, just, you know, Lyric Opera House, this is Hamilton. Just Google that and you'll see that's what they have up on their marquee. We ain't selling Hamilton tickets. So, you know, good luck to y'all. But let me say this now. And I'm going to equate these Beyonce tickets. I'm going to equate these Hamilton tickets, just like I equate some other stuff. Don't go spending $600 for no Hamilton tickets and your bills is in the red. Don't y'all go getting no Hamilton tickets talking about I'll pay the car note next month. Don't get no Hamilton tickets and you got that red letter in the words of the old girl from the from the song Jesus Work It Out, them big old red letters on your bill statement. Don't y'all go spend that money on no Hamilton ticket. Please don't do it. Oh, we got an email. What is it? Okay, let me pull up the email. Hold on. Let's see here. All right. Okay, here we go. See? This is how I know who she the wife of the silent partner has emailed and said, only if Hamilton was appearing himself, the actual Hamilton, the dead president, then she said she would go. Otherwise, she ain't spending that money either. Thank you, Mama. Appreciate it. And since you're listening, let me go ahead and say, because I think you missed it on Monday. I just want to say, I don't know what spirit of anointing the Lord put on your hands for them, their oxtails. But I just want you to know that them oxtails was anointed with the Holy Ghost. I just thought you ought to know that. And I don't know if you got a chance to listen on Monday, but I just wanted you to know them was the best. You know what it was? It hit me a little later. Because I know she cooks them in red wine. This is what it is. And I know where the wine comes from. But then it hit me. I had to use my Holy Ghost mind to figure out where it really came from. That's the same wine that Jesus made at the wedding of Canaan. That's what they was anointed. That's what she marinated them bad boys in and cooked them in. Because them oxtails was amazing. My God. I had nerve to get upset when I saw some folk walking in and thought they was going to get some more before I got a chance, you know. But anyway, I just wanted her to know. I just want you to know, over the ether waves, as the good cardinal would say, their oxtails was everything. Yes, they were. What's that? Oh, he's out. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, he didn't get. Oh, did you bring his stuff? Oh, he shot. Oh, let me go and put the word out right now. You know what? Show you what the devil meant for me. Let me tell y'all about the blessing that I just got. So see, check this out. See, I was asked to pack up some oxtails for the good cardinal that would be sitting right here. Y'all see this empty chair next to me, y'all watching on the TV and everywhere else. I was asked to pack up some oxtails for the brother. And he didn't show up today. And the good Moses brought my man his oxtail, and he ain't here. So somebody, they can't go back to the house. I mean, they just can't. You can't keep transferring food back and forth all over the place. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. So what's going to happen is, I don't care. You can tell. Tanya says she tell. You can tell the people. Them oxtails, I promise you, just as soon as we get off the air, they're going in the microwave. Huh? Michael Bernard Henderson, your oxtails was here, but because you ain't here, it's just like at the raffle. You got to be here to win. You got to be here to win, Doc. You got to get in. If you don't play, you don't win. I don't care. You can call him, text his phone. I don't care. Tell the man. He can watch this interview. Y'all tag him in the post if you want to. Tag him in the Facebook post. Michael Henderson, Dana is gonna eat your ass. You lucky I ain't got a microwave in the studio. Cause if I had, you know, we wanted to get one, but we said we was doing too much up here. We already got too much stuff up here today. But we wanted to get one. Cause if I had a microwave in this here studio, I would eat them oxtails on the air. That's how good they were. I promise you they got the Holy Ghost. I promise you they do. Ooh, and that sticky rice, did she send some rice to? She sent rice to? Oh, he ain't getting them at all. he ain't getting them. Mama, I'm sorry. They ain't going to go to waste. They ain't going to go to waste. They ain't going to go to waste. And then my producer, she over here telling. She typing to Michael in our group chat. Talking about he got you some. Just load that tail. Y'all can tell it. Them oxtails is going to be gone. I'm killing them. I ain't playing. I am eating everyone that show up. Everyone that show up, I'm going to get. So let's move on. Let's move on, man. Let's move on. I just want y'all to know what was going on. So, yeah. You got me excited, man. Talking about them. That's why you here. Okay. Boy, let me give me a sip of this here. All right. Okay. All right. So what else we got? Oh, for our food of the day. What is, and I think I know because I was watching the show this morning and they talked about the food of the day, but I ain't going to say nothing until I hear it from our producer about what the food of the day is, what national food day it is today. So when I see her and she ain't in the room, okay, she ain't clicked in yet. When she clicks in so we can get our food of the day going, I just want to know what it is because I believe I know what it is. I saw it, and it's actually something I can eat. Because the last few food of the days have not been good at all. The other day was vanilla ice cream. Don't nobody like vanilla ice cream. I need something. I need some strawberry or something in my stuff. So, but anyway, and then the other day was jelly-filled donuts. That was like, what is that mess? And then muffins. You know, don't nobody want that mess. So food, okay, are we ready? You ready? All right, let me get my stuff ready here. Okay, so... sister, in the words of our evangelist Melton, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you want to help us and bless us?
What do you
us?
Got though?
I want you to say yours.
You can't do my job.
I
do your job.
You know what? Really? This where we going?
This where we at?
Can you bless
we
us?
We at the corner of
Central and Fulton. Can you?
Yeah.
Can you bless us with the food of the day today, please?
Well, today we have two food days.
Okay.
We have National Chocolate Eclair Day and Onion Ring Day. Stomach on boil.
So it's National Chocolate Milk Day? Is that what you said?
Eclair.
Oh, Eclair.
Chocolate
Eclair Day. And then it's Onion Ring Day. See, I saw the Onion Ring Day. Okay. Well, please don't eat your onion rings and your chocolate milk together, people. Don't
do that.
Don't do that because we're going to need National Pepto-Bismol Day if that happens. Mm-hmm. All
you
right.
You can't even be my friend after that.
Thank you so much for your help. Back to the room with you. Okay. So that's where we are. That's where we are, everybody. That is so National Food Day. So it's National Onion Ring Day. Now, I ain't had a good onion ring in a minute. Now, what I saw earlier, the National Onion Ring, now, onion rings ain't always been around. But I did see that it was national. I saw that I was watching some TV show, and they mentioned onion rings.
Woo! Just when you thought it was all over. ABK and Reverend right back at you, baby. From the shower with a new flavor. Can you feel me? Woo! Come on, everybody, get your hands up. Come on, everybody, get your hands up. Once again, it's on, man.
Okay. All right. We are back. Sorry about that, y'all. Some of y'all got kicked off a little earlier. That's Blog Talk. That was them, not me. Just want y'all to know that. But we are back. We are back. We are back live. We are back live. We are back live. Facebook, Ustream, y'all didn't get to go nowhere, but we are back. Yeah, so we are back. I'm back. Anyway, man, look, just in all, we was all having a little fun. I know y'all, some of y'all is like watching. I'm reading these comments. I am reading these comments, y'all. Oh, my God. Y'all are hilarious. Y'all are really hilarious. But it's funny, though. But I appreciate them. One of the things we do like to do is keep people informed of what's going on. And I did pull up some information. Monday was the first official day of summer. And can't even get out of the first official day of summer without some mess happening in and around the city. Yes, we had more shootings yesterday. I'm torn every day trying to decide whether or not I'm going to talk about these or not. But I feel like if I don't say anything, it gets, you know, something Devon said the other day. He was like, he never wants to make this appear that this is the new normal. But unfortunately, that's the impression, is that this everyday crime, this everyday gun violence, is ridiculous. Yesterday we had one killed and 10 wounded in shootings since Tuesday morning. One killed and 10 wounded. Shootings on the south and west side. DNA info. Just kind of burst on the scenes in the last 2 years. If you don't remember DNA info, DNA info is the news organization. That's the news organization that broke the story about the Jackie Robinson youth baseball team. But they have been on point with pretty much everything in their reporting. And you have one person killed and 10 wounded just since Tuesday morning. This is crazy. And it's not just kids. You got a 35-year-old. What is this? A 55-year-old man, a 38-year-old man, a 26-year-old man, another 32-year-old man, an 18-year-old woman was shot and seriously wounded. A 30-year-old man on the 5,000 block of West Madison Street. On the 1500 block, so that's right up. That's right around the corner, on Madison Street. He was shot standing on the street. He got shot. This was 9 o'clock yesterday. And then what is this? At 7:40 yesterday, 200 block of South Lockwood, right around the corner. 19-year-old was shot. Shot and treated and released. And this is the part that's getting me. Treated and released. So these people are getting shot and going to the hospital, and they're getting out the next day, and then they're out and they're back home, and then they're back doing whatever they're doing. Another one, 3,500 block of West Congress. 35 minutes later, the report says another 19-year-old man was walking in an alley and got shot. A man walked up to him and shot him, the police said. He's in good condition. And then around yesterday morning, a 21-year-old was shot in North Lawndale. It's just amazing to me. And we want to argue about stupid stuff and what corner we going to stand on and all of this. We need to be where they are. And I need to get with Jody today to make sure. I'm hoping that the rain stays so that we can actually go out today. But the good thing is this. If it is raining, the idiots tend to stay in the house. When the weather's bad, they tend to stay in the house too. So, you know, I guess they can't handle their business. They can't do their transactions in the rain. But this is, you know, it's sad that this is where we are. This is the state of affairs. But, you know, we're going to have some people when next week, and I think it's probably going to be next week, I'm going to have him on, George, Jody Beatty, and another guy that's working out there, Lewis Chamberlain. I think they're going to be on next week. I have to get that worked out with LaTanya. We figured it out. Let me know what day those guys are going to come in and talk about what they're doing all throughout the Austin neighborhood and the West Side of Chicago, because they're out there every day. You know, the churches, we go out there on Wednesdays. These brothers are out there every day. They are out there every day on the street corners, and they don't just go to the street corners where, you know, the ones where everybody can see. They go to the hot spot. They go up down the neighborhood block where, you know, they, because people call them and they say, hey, look, we need y'all to come over here. And they pack up the van and they go. And they pack up the van, they pull their tent out, and they just, you know, they settle right there on whatever corner it is. And you know what? Even if it only interrupts the violence and everything for a few hours, it gives people a few hours of peace, and it gives the neighborhood some hope. Yeah. Yeah, that just happened now. Yeah. And it's the going thing, and I'm sure you guys hear it on the radio. Every time we're on the air, you guys, I'm sure you hear it in the background, the ambulance going by. Because, see, I told y'all, the studio is in the Austin community. We're right upstairs inside the church on the fourth floor, third floor of the church. And so we get all the action because there's two things. We have Loretta Hospital and West Suburban Hospital and Oak Park Hospital. West Suburban and Oak Park are two emergency units. Okay, so that's where you're going to get all the traffic when something goes wrong, unless they're taking them to the county. Well, I'm sorry, Stroger for them. Stroger, let me say that correctly. It ain't called a county. It's called something. You was born in Cook County. I don't care what you wasn't. Don't say you was born in Stroger, because it wasn't Stroger when you was born. So y'all need to let that go. Let that go. Anyway, we got good stuff. We got some good stuff. So let me just jump right into. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Right? No emails. Good. Yep. No, he's not. He's not here. Oh no, that's right. He ain't here. And then. Once again, they getting snatched up. Yeah, she just emailed me saying, he ain't here? No, he ain't here. Man. Anyway, so that's what else is going on in the news. These shootings are just ridiculous. And if you haven't checked it out, go to their website. I'm going to see if I can get matter of fact, Tanya, if you can grab this writer. See if we can get some of these people on. I would love to have him on because he writes – he writes for the DNA Info website. See if we can get their information. His name is Alex Nickton. And if you go to the DNA Info website and click on the Austin area, if you click his name, let me see. Yeah, if you click his name, it'll pull up his information and his email address. See if we can get him on the show. See if we can get him on the show. Because I would love just to get his, you know, what's his mindset, especially since he reports this all the time. At what point does it become just sickening? You know, for him who writes about it every day, because this is updated daily, actually during the day, because he's the writer, he's a reporter and producer at DNA Info for the neighborhood section. So I would definitely love to get him on and have a conversation with him. So I'll look and see if there are any other ones on here, but definitely him, to see if we can get him on the show, with us. So look, you know, it's about to be, I noticed and heard people talking about it. Vacation Bible School is coming throughout the city. You know, I don't care what church you are part of. Churches are about to start their, Vacation Bible School teaching. And what Vacation Bible School is, it is about a week. It's literally a week. Some churches do it longer, but it is literally 2 weeks. Okay, it is 2 weeks. 2 weeks of Bible learning, and it's not just for kids. It's not just for kids. It is. It's literally for adults. It's supposed to be interactive Bible study learning classes for your entire congregation, from the babies all the way through teenagers, from teenagers to adults, and from adults to senior adults. So that's what it's supposed to be. And what I noticed is a lot of churches who don't have large congregations partner with other churches. And so they can have, because here's the deal. You may have, and this is something I've always said, you may have a small congregation, but a large church, a large building. So there may be a church around the corner from you or up the street from you or in the neighborhood that you should know. And they may have a large congregation, but not a lot of space. Because if you're a church who just has a room where you have your service, you don't have classrooms, you don't have that, you don't have all these different locations, it's kind of hard for you to separate in that type of a room. To me, it would just make sense that you would partner with another church and say, hey, let's put our people together and let's have vacation Bible school for the next 2 weeks. What does that do? It does a couple things. Watch this. You get to actually meet other people in your neighborhood. Yeah. You get to meet other people in your neighborhood. You get to interact with other churches in your neighborhood. You get to interact with other people outside of the ones that you see once or twice a week. You may even actually get to meet the pastor of another church and interact. Now, I know what the problem is, because some pastors going to feel like, well, I ain't going to interact because if my people go down there, they're going to see how nice it is and they ain't going to want to come back. Really? That's what you're concerned about? You're concerned that your folks going to go somewhere else and like it and not come back. Let me help you with something. If where I am, I'm eating real good, I don't care what they're serving up the street. I ain't going. I might go visit, but I ain't going to stay. But now, if you ain't serving nothing at your church, that's why you worry. That's why you worry they're going to go somewhere else, and they're going to see how it's supposed to be done, and then go, and then, you know, you want people to continue to be blind. You want people to continue to walk around, you know, with blinders on. And no, don't pay no attention to all the foolishness you see going on over here. Just look forward, as I've been told, just keep your eyes on the cross. That's people say that mess when they don't have any real direction or instruction or vision. Just keep your eyes on the cross. And don't worry about all the other stuff. Why am I keeping my eyes on the cross? Ain't nobody on the cross. Help a brother out. Why would we not take this opportunity to go around to our local churches and say, hey, we have a vacation Bible school. We'd love if you're not having it, we'd love to partner with you. You can bring your children, your kids, your people, and we can join together and do this. Now, I know some of y'all are financially strapped, but hey, guess what? Can you split the cost? If the materials are $400-$500, can you know they get to, you know, you can use their teachers, some of our teachers, and all of that. Okay. So what's stopping people from getting together and doing this? How can we not, and you wonder why the community does not know who you are or trust you, because they don't know you. And it's not about necessarily meeting, because here's the deal. A lot of times during vacation Bible school, you get people who are not a part of your church to come. A lot of times parents will send their kids, say, oh, you know what, just go over to this thing for a couple, go do this or whatever. And then those kids, if they enjoy themselves, they go and tell other kids. So it's an opportunity for you to have some sort of effect on the community. As a lady told me before, just because y'all pass out bread don't mean you actually doing nothing in the community. So here's an opportunity for you to grow with other churches. And guess what? It don't matter if they ain't in your dang own district. It don't matter if they ain't in your district. Who cares? Who cares if the church? Does it? What? Okay, let me ask you this. What district is Jesus' church in? See, y'all like to throw Jesus' name around all the time. I'm throwing it back at you. What district does he belong to? I don't hear nobody. Exactly. So you want people to join in with you. You want people to come, but then you don't want to give them nothing. Man, that's good stuff right there. My brother Lewis Chamberlain just chimed in on Facebook. He says, what bothers me is that these church and members say that they are followers of Christ, but won't even come out to anything in the community. You're right. They won't, because they're more focused on what's going on in their church and in their sanctuary than they are about what's going on in the street. You're absolutely right, Lewis. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. Again, thank you for watching and listening. I appreciate you. But that's the issue. This is an opportunity for you this summertime, because, okay, you know, now knowing that we've been in Chicago your whole life, the cold shouldn't really bother you. But the summertime, is when you should really be going out and rubbing elbows with people. This is the time you could be out in your community touching and getting to know the people in your community. And I'm not talking about the people on the corner. I'm talking about up and down the blocks. Up and down the blocks. I do want to send. I do want to give a shout out or a little fist bump real quick to. And I know they take a bad rap sometimes because and they do a lot of stupid stuff. They have, but the Chicago Police Department. Yesterday I saw this. The Chicago Police Department is riding bikes in the hood. They are riding their bikes, which is something I had been asking for years. But they are finally doing it. They are riding their bikes in the hood now. And guess what this does? Pookie and Ray Ray ain't going to keep doing what they're doing when the police is on their bikes. Because, see, when you just park your car on the street corner and don't nobody see you, then you ain't having no effect. But now you're riding up and down the neighborhoods where the homes are. And actually sitting, I saw them actually had the bikes parked and talking with a lady on her front porch yesterday. And I'm like, oh, this is good. This is good. And this was in the Austin community and in West Garfield yesterday over by my mom's house. I was like, oh, this is good. This is what's needed. And even the police recognize that they need to get back out there in the community and touch and rub elbows with the actual people that they serve. Because if I don't trust you if I don't know you. If the only time I see you, you show up is after the gunshots. See, when I was a kid, we knew the police before the shooting happened. And because we knew the police, we prevented the shootings from happening. Just like the church, show up late to the fact. Maybe if you were out there ahead of time, if we were more proactive instead of being reactive. One thing about Jesus, he was intentional. He was intentional about what he did. He didn't just sit back and whichever way the wind blow, he decided to go. No, he was intentional. He said, we're going here. Let us go to the other side. That is in the Bible, right? Y'all know I'll tap a scripture in a minute. But that is in there. He did say, get on the boat and let us go to the other side. Now watch this. On their way over to the other side, they encountered a storm. The only people that panicked was the disciples. Why? Jesus had already said, we going to the other side. He went to sleep because he was fine. He said, I already said it. Ain't nothing finna happen. Why y'all panicking? So if God has already given you some direction and told you what you need to do, why are you hesitating? Why are you waiting? What are we waiting for? We keep saying waiting for the next Dr. King. We waiting for the next Malcolm X. Why? Why are we waiting? When the instructions, the groundwork has been laid, we know what to do, but the problem is we can't get along long enough to do it. We can't get along we can't get along with each other as churches, as men and women of the cloth, or men and women of Christianity. We can't get along long enough to have any real effect. Because the problem is, well, if it wasn't my idea, I ain't going. And like I said last week, we all about making sure people watch our sermon. Check my sermon, Doc. Watch the replay of my sermon, Doc. Check me out. Negro, go have a seat. That's what you do. Get somewhere and put your hips in a chair. Somewhere and sit down. Talking about some come watch this and come do this. And no, how about you come outside where the people are? Anyway, let me keep moving before I go off. Let me get this article going. So we have this good article, right? Let me do this. I'm gonna take a hot, that's what we need. Yeah, I'm gonna take this hot 30-second break. A hot 30-second break, and then when we come back, we're gonna jump right into today's conversation. Is God holding back something? Is God holding back something from you? So we're gonna take a quick break. And we'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. Amen. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. So, look, we got this good article, man. This is good. Is God holding back something from you? Is God keeping something from you? And this is good. And I just breezed through it. You know, y'all know I like to read the articles live for the first time on air so I can be just as shocked as you all are. I let, you know, the production team handles the actual. We pick them and then she reads them and then I read them live on the air so I can be just, because sometimes it's really good stuff. Sometimes it's not, and we'll disagree, but we'll read them. This one is on, this article is located on the Desiring God website, the Desiring God. It's, the website is called desiringgod.org, desiringgod.org. The writer is Chad Asby is his name. I'm sorry, Ashby. I didn't tow his man's name up. Yeah, Ashby. Tow his whole name up. Hope his mama wasn't listening. She's going to be mad. Tow the man's whole name up. But let's go. Let's go. The writer says, we all have one thing we tell ourselves. If I only had that, my life would be complete. If only God would give me more understanding, a more understanding boss. If only God would take away this illness. If only God would give me a spouse or a better spouse. If only God would make my kids more obedient. He says, why would God keep that one thing from us? Does God enjoy withholding the things we want most? When it seems our God is keeping something good from us, it can be bewildering and confusing. I thought God loved me and wanted what was best for me, the writer says. He says, but you're not alone. You're not alone. He says, the good news is that you're not alone. God withheld from Elijah. He was ready to take on the world if only God would get rid of Jezebel. That's right. You can reference 1 Kings 19. It says, God withheld from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, living in tents as sojourners in their own land. God gave them no inheritance in the promised land, not even a foot's length. The Lord withheld from Rachel. She remained childless with her sister while her sister racked up 4 kids. Job takes the cake. Absolutely everything was taken from him short of his breath and his lungs. If you feel like God is keeping something back from you, join the club, the writer says. Every single human being has experienced some mysterious withholding of God. The pages of scriptures are sprinkled all over with the tears of believers who have cried and pleaded, asking the same question, why, O Lord, are you holding this back from me? This is good. You know, let me pause for a second, because I often ask this question. You know, everybody, and today is a good day than any. Everybody always asks the question about, if I could win the lottery, if I got all this money. And I always use this analogy. You know, for some people, that amount of money would be more of a curse than it would be a blessing. For the simple fact is, God recognizes what you are capable of handling. And God says, I gave you a job making $75,000 a year, and you don't do well with that 75. You don't, for one, you don't tithe. I ain't gonna talk about it. But you don't. I gave you this job making this money, and you do not know how to handle it. You waste it. You go crazy with it. It makes you a different type of person. So I'm going to let you have that. But I'm not going to give you $750,000, because then I'm afraid you might kill yourself. Because let me help you. If you were a financial idiot making $75,000 a year, what kind of idiot are you going to be with $750,000? Because here's the deal. That $75,000 can only put you in so much trouble. $750,000 opens a whole nother realm of trouble. And now you can open doors that you wouldn't normally have been able to get into. So what happens is, I believe God keeps certain things away from us, even though we deem them as good. He will keep them away from you because he knows down the line it's going to do you some harm, or that you're not mature enough to handle it, that you're not mature enough to handle it. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. The writer says, even in the perfect world, we might be tempted to think our sorrowful experiences are the consequences of a fallen world, but we would be wrong. From the beginning, God has withheld from mankind. In Genesis, God created a beautiful garden, and he placed man there, and God handed the keys over to Adam. He gave him a command. You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Check it out now. He says, the writer says, God intentionally created a tree just so that he could withhold it from Adam and Eve. Why would he do that? Perhaps the real head scratcher is this. When God gave Adam and Eve every single tree of the garden for food, why did they ultimately insist on having the fruit of the only tree that was off limits? Huh? Think about it. They had everything they needed. And this one thing, God said, I'm putting it in there, but you can't have it. He says, I'm putting this tree in here, but you can't have it. But you have everything you need from every tree, but you can't have this one. The writer says, Satan was able to tempt Adam and Eve into sin by drawing their focus to the one thing missing from their life. Watch, the one thing missing. See, he had them believe that something was missing, even though they weren't in need for anything. He says he convinced them that God was ruining their life by withholding the one thing that would actually make them happy. For God knows, this is what Satan said, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Here is where we get ourselves in trouble. You can have everything that you want, and somebody will say, you don't have this. And now, instead of you focusing on all of the great things that are good in your life, you turn your focus to this one thing. And now, because you want to go get this one thing, the very things that were great all start to fall apart. And you wonder why God tried to hold this thing back from you. You wonder why he was trying to prevent you from getting this thing. But see, when you're hell-bent on getting something, you go get this thing, and now you have to, as they say, as grandmom, you say, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. There is a reason that certain things are withheld from us. And it's not because God doesn't want us happy. It's because he doesn't want us to grow further in sin than we already are. So it's no different than you know, you got a nice car and you see the car you want, but then you see another car and you go, man, but that car looks nicer. And yeah, you probably can afford it, but you're going to be stretching yourself. But you're good right now where you are. Because I have people ask this question all the time. How come you never bought a BMW? How come you never got a Mercedes? And this was legitimately my answer. I said, and I used to catch the train to work. Why would I buy a $70,000 car to park at the train station for 8-9 hours a day, just to come back home to get in said $70,000-$80,000 car because I done worked for 8-10 hours, and to park it in the grocery store where somebody gonna ding it? And then put it back in the driveway. Don't get me wrong. They are some nice cars. I ain't hating on you now. If you got one, bless the Lord. I ain't hating on you. But what I'm saying is I could not my rationale behind it was, what's the point of me having this nice vehicle and I'm not going, and the only day I'm going to get to enjoy it is on the weekend. You want a better example? I use the car example for the bros. Let me give an example from a female listener. I know I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. You know them nice purses, them purses. Y'all know them purses. Y'all know them purses. Them coaches, them, you know. I think coach don't even meet the standard no more. People still like coach. But them Louis Vuittons, who is them other people? Who is it? Yeah, is MK? I don't think MK all that though. I don't know, but the Louis Vuitton. Who are the other people? Henry Bendel? Yeah, that's the one. Henry Bendel. And them other people. Do you really? Yeah, yes, you can afford it. But do you really need to have an $800 purse? And I guess is it a status symbol? Is it a because I mean, do you feel better when you carry it? Help me. Help me. I just got to hold on now on the Facebook message. So I was hold on now. But seriously, do you feel better when you carry it? Because I can talk for me. I used to be the king electronic dude. Anytime something new electric came out, I was buying it. I don't care if it was a new cordless electric drill. I would just buy it because I just wanted to say I had it. But every new cell phone that came out, every new radio, every new TV, y'all know me, every new electronic device gadget that came out, I would buy it. And then when they came out with a new one, I would go get it. And why? Because I just had to have it. But if I could think back now as a 46-year-old dude versus the 26-year-old dude, all the money that I spent every 6 months on a new cell phone at Sprint, every 6 months, because that's when they was releasing them bad boys. Every new pager, y'all remember the beepers? Every new beeper that came out, I'm buying it. And then, you know, you guys with the gym shoes, same way. Every new gym shoe, you getting it. But then what? Then what? Are you doing it to replace something? I believe that God withholds a lot of things from us to protect us. Let's keep the article going. He says Satan was able to tempt Adam and Eve I read that part. He says, look at your life. That's what he says. He says, look at your life. It is possible that you've fallen for Satan's oldest strategy against us. Are you fixated on the one thing God is withholding? Has the serpent convinced you that God is actually wrong for keeping something good from you? It is possible that your life is really a garden full of fruitful trees, but you're stuck on the one tree that God won't let you have right now. Wow. This is the whole self-examination thing. Are you so keenly focused on the next thing that you're not paying attention to the thing in front of you or the things in front of you? Are you so keenly focused on trying to get to this next level when God says you ain't completed the level you on? I was talking to my God brother and his fiance on Saturday morning. I had breakfast with them. I'm doing a shout out to them, Aaron and Renee, the soon to be Odell family. I'll be doing their wedding in July. But I was talking with him. And he made a very good point. He was like, sometimes you need to make sure you complete the grade level you're in before you start trying to take master's classes and you're still reading at a high school level. Maybe you need to make sure you got all this stuff done the right way down here before you start trying to go up here. Because, see, what happens is, and this is what happens, you know, in school back in the day, and I guess they're still doing it, you could make a double and you could skip a grade. Yeah, you could skip a grade back in the day. And that's not a bad thing. But what happens is, yes, you skip a grade, but you miss out on some. You may be smart enough to go ahead and do the schoolwork, but you might miss out on the other parts of the grade that you did. What's the word starts with an I? Oh my God, can't think of the word. I don't want to tear the word up because I know my people gonna laugh at me. But you miss out on intangibles. That's the word. Ha ha! Could get me on that one. It's intangibles. That's the stuff that's not a part of the book learning. So you miss interactive. It's kind of like kids who are homeschooled. Yes, you're giving them a great education, but they're missing out on interaction. They're missing out on dealing with other children. They're missing out on all of that stuff. It's great that you're giving them the education and that you can drill down on them all the good stuff. And the stuff that teachers may not necessarily have time to do. But what about interaction with other children in the classroom setting? What about the interaction of listening to other adults and being respectful to other adults who aren't family? Because, see, you miss out on that when you do that. So you can be so focused on this thing that you miss out on something else. I'm not knocking my homeschool people. Please don't send me no emails. I think homeschooling is good at the beginning. But I think, you know, by the time they get to, you know, maybe first grade, second grade, you need to go ahead and let them acclimate. Because guess what? when they turn 13 and 14, and you still talking about are you going homeschool then too? Because now you got a different kind. Now you got a different animal. Anyway, let's keep going. Let's keep going. The writer says, the withholding God of grace, the withholding God of grace. He says, when God rested and surveyed the universe and the garden he had created for mankind, God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Somehow, an Eden where God withheld the tree of knowledge of good and evil from Adam and Eve was very good, not just something to cope with, not just something to live with, but very good. When God withholds something our heart desperately desires, it is very good. Our minds tend to fixate on the one thing that God won't give us. The writer says, my boys do this all the time. It doesn't matter if there are 1,000 toys in the playroom. They want the one toy that their brother has and won't share with them. Whether it's health, a new job, a spouse, a child, a better marriage, or a better church, we tend to forget about all the things God has given us and focus on the one thing he is withholding. That is absolutely right. I've seen it happen so many times. You can see a bunch of kids playing with something, and somebody else will have something. And because it looks like, let me tell you, it could be a toy that that kid ain't touched in his toy box ever. But a new kid comes over who is just happy to be able to play with some toys. And he grabs the toy at the bottom of the toy box. You know, the one your kid ain't touched in years. And all of a sudden, he's having the time of his life with it. You know what your kid do? That's mine. That's my toy. And you're like, you ain't played with that since I bought that thing in 84. And I mean throw a straight tantrum. That's how we are as adults. We will neglect the thing. We will neglect the thing, the things that God has already given us, because we want new. Or we think something else is better. That's what we will do. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. And we have to get to a point that we start to recognize the things that God gave us and not take them for granted. I know Facebook Live just cut off, but I did just restart. So just y'all can log back in and get part two. Y'all can log back in on Facebook Live and get part two. It's back up and running. It's already up. But, you know, it's one of those things where we got to get to a point where we stop being so singularly focused on what I don't have. There's a lot of stuff a lot of us don't have. There's a lot of stuff we don't have. There are people who have ailments, and they go, man, well, if I just didn't have this one ailment, my life would be so much better. You're probably right. I know my brother. Got a bad hip. But he know people who got a whole lot worse bad stuff, and I know he don't want to trade. He was like, I'll deal with this hip. You keep your heart issues and your kidney issues and your liver issues and you know what I'm saying? See, it's easy to focus on what I don't have. I can't run up the stairs because I got asthma, so I can't run up the stairs like everybody else. Okay, fine. I'd rather have to walk up the stairs slow than to have somebody have to carry me up the stairs. Yeah, I'd rather it take me a little bit longer to get dressed by myself than to have somebody dress me. So it's easy to say my situation is, man, if only God would remove this one thing from me. Maybe God is keeping that one thing on you to keep you in control. Because God would recognize, you know, because see, guess what? See, if I fix your hip, you're going to be back out at the club. See, if I give you a better house, if I give you a bigger house, you're going to go broke trying to buy the furniture for the house. So God says, I'm going to keep you in that little 3-bedroom, whatever it is, because you can manage that. And until you show me you're better at managing that, then I'll bless you with this. But you ain't ready for this. So God will keep you in a situation that he knows you can manage. There was a reason God didn't want them to touch that tree, because God knew once they realized who they were and what they were, that event, that they were going to fall into sin. He knew that, which is why, yeah, he put, so people go, well, why would he put the tree in there? Well, guess why? He still made us with free reason. We're not like the angels. We have free will. We have free will. Still had the option to make the choice. Still had the option to make the choice. So he allowed it to happen. Yes, he did. He allowed it to happen. But at the same time, we have free will. And we have to recognize that just because we can does not mean we should. Make sure you get that now. Just because you can don't mean you should. And that's real. That's real. And I'm going to say this. I know it's going to get me in some trouble. But it's just like when you go to the store. And I'm going to talk to the, I'm talking to my ladies. Talking to my ladies. Just because it come in your size don't mean you're supposed to wear it. That's just the truth. Just because, and you might think I'm being funny, but watch it this way. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of wealthy, overweight people. Let me say it that way. Wealthy, overweight people. When I say wealthy, I mean rich. I ain't talking about they got a couple hundred thousand. I'm talking about, millions. And they can afford a Ferrari. But watch this. Just because you can afford it, you can't drive it. What you think about it. If you weigh 400 and you rich, and you go, well, I'm rich, I'm going to buy a Ferrari. Guess what? That ain't made for you. Same way you can't fit in that car, if you weigh 400, you need not be going into Victoria's Secret unless you got lotion and slippers. Y'all pray for me. See, I was doing good. Y'all pray. I'm just saying, and powder. They got powder in there. Y'all go there and get you some powder, some lotion, some perfume. I'm just saying, you ain't got no business in there. You really don't. You really don't. They need to have, I know they would say you'd be discriminating or something. But, that's why I could never work in that type of retail, because I'd be like, how can I not help you today, would be my statement. Let's move on. The writer says, Paul was no stranger to our woes. Three times, he says, I pleaded with the Lord about this, that thorn should leave me. God did not give him what he asked for. He withheld, but here's what he gave instead. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. God withholds good things from us to teach us to treasure him above every good thing. When he refuses to give us good things we plead for, he is actually giving us something even greater, himself and his grace to us in Christ. Watch this. Watch this. This is good. Take Paul. Paul had this thorn. And we don't know what this thorn was. We don't know what it was. Paul had some, there's some speculation about what Paul's issue was, or whatever it was. But Paul said, I got this issue. And if God would see, Paul's mindset was, this is the way Paul was thinking. Paul was thinking, I'm good now, but if God would remove this thing from me, I would be greater. But see, God remembered who Paul was before he knocked him off his ass. Huh? When he was Saul. Y'all get mad. I'm using biblical words. I'm telling you that's in the Bible. He was riding the ass. Just get over it. But watch this. Sometimes, and see if I could preach. Y'all know I'm chilling right now. But if I could preach, sometimes God has to knock you off your ass and put you on your ass to let you recognize some things. Sometimes he has to do that. And in Paul's case, Paul learned at the feet of what's the man named Gamaliel? I don't get that name right. But he learned at the feet of some of the most intelligent and educated scribes. Saul, when he was Saul, and because of that, he was puffed up in his knowledge. He knew everything, but he didn't have any wisdom as Saul. He had no wisdom. So what the first thing God did to him was when he met Jesus on that road, he blinded him. First he took, he said, okay, I know what to do for you. I'm gonna fix it so you can't see. Since you're going around pointing out folks and you know, throwing your feet, your coat at people's feet and they getting stoned because you pointing them out, I'm gonna fix it so you can't see nobody. I'm gonna fix it so you can't see nobody. So now instead of you leading, watch this. See, I've heard this preached, but they ain't talking about it like this. So now instead of you leading, now you are forced to have to follow. And I ain't getting amen, Dana. It's all right. Instead of you being able to lead, now because you're blind, you have to follow. And now you have to humble yourself and wait for folk to come and help you. That's what happened. So now all of a sudden when he gets his sight back and now he becomes Paul, now he's still on fire for the Lord. But God remembers how puffed up he got. So that thorn, whatever that thorn was that Paul had to carry around, it was a reminder. It was a reminder because if God had removed that thing from him, there was always the possibility that in his vigor and his zeal for going out trying to convert people, he might get a little heady again. He might get a little puffed up. But see, when you're walking with a limp, it's kind of hard to be puffed up.
Come on, somebody.
Woo! I'm just saying, when you're walking with a limp, it's kind of hard to be, you know. So he had to. So sometimes God will force us to carry this thing, in Paul's case, whatever this thorn was, he will force you to carry something in order for you to remain humble. It didn't stop Paul from working one bit. Didn't stop Paul from completing his journey at all. He still traveled everywhere he was supposed to go. His mission was still there. See, some of us, we use our thorns as handicaps. I can't because of this, or we ain't got this, so we can't. Well, we ain't big enough, so we can't. Oh no, our church will never be able to do that. We can't. Why? Because we're the church. See, this is your church. This is your church. This is a thorn in your church. We ain't never been able to do that. That's a thorn right there. And because we ain't never been able to do that, the minute somebody comes with something new, we ain't going to be able to do that. Why not? Because we ain't never been able to do it. You know how depressing that is? For people to go and you come to the table with great ideas and they go, well, nah. Well, why not? That's not something we going to be able to do. Well, you know, we just don't have that. Let me ask this question. Where is your faith? And then where is your plan? Because, see, now I'm not talking about y'all who got ideas with no plan. That does not apply to you. So don't amen me if you're saying I got an idea, but I ain't got no plan. So you keep that amen. I'm talking about, you know, because when the Bible says faith without works, so I'm going to need you to have some faith, but then I need you to be able to get ready to work afterwards. So you know, we just need to pray more and do this. I'm all for prayer. But after you get up off your knees, I've said this 100 times, then what you going to do? Y'all know I tell y'all the same story every time. This building that we're in is huge. It's got about 16 different exits. Now, if the building caught on fire and the people in the building decide, well, we're going to pray, I'm going to let y'all pray because then they're going to be across the street and be like, what happened? Well, they're in there praying that the fire go out. They in there praying that God save the building. See, that's no. That's where knowledge and wisdom, that's where there's the difference. I know I'm supposed to pray, but wisdom tells me I can pray when I make it to safety. Wisdom tells me I can pray while I'm exiting the building. That's what wisdom tells me. Wisdom tells me it ain't smart to stay in the building when you smell smoke. Oh no, we just gonna pray. And God will work it out. You right. And then have nerve to get mad when you get to heaven or when you get ready to stand before the gate and you mad at God. Talking about, God, we prayed and you burn up. And well, God, I pray. God's going to look at you like fool. You didn't see all them doors? you didn't see them exit signs? You what? You chose to stay, huh? Yeah, you come on in, but, you know, like, I'm going to tell you, like Tommy used to tell Martin, Tommy to tell Cole on Martin, Cole, you stupid, because you should have got out when you had the chance. Let's keep going. The writer says, the gracious rescue mission of the Son of God on the cross, another tree, was set in motion by God's command. On that tree you shall not eat, he says. Adam and Eve didn't realize it, but the tree God withheld in the garden became the doorway of his Son. Because God withheld something, thousands of years later, Jesus Christ was able to accomplish the most powerful act of grace and love. Satan convinced Adam and Eve to resent God for commanding them not to eat of the tree. Despite their sinful rebellion, the tree that God withheld became the tree on which they were saved. Wow. That's good stuff. Watch this. And I'm glad the writer broke this down, because we talked about this before with the whole Adam and Eve thing. As children, those of you who grew up in the church, and it's not necessarily, I want to necessarily blame the teachers, but we were always, at least me, I was always under the impression, the way the story was told, that, you know, Adam was out chilling somewhere, and when he came home, Eve had bit the fruit. That was always the impression that was given. And it was always made to put the woman in bad light. And I agreed with it. I'm like, oh, okay. And I used to always say, you know what? The world would be a better place if your great, great, great Auntie Eve hadn't messed it up for everybody. She tore up everything. We'd be still running around naked and feeling good. But your great, 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 great Auntie Eve decided she was going to mess it up for everybody. But then a little bit of reading, a little bit of studying and some teaching, and you find out, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We find out that Adam was standing right there. Once again, this is how you shut stuff down. Adam had an opportunity to put a cease to the mess that was coming into his house. He had an opportunity that many of us today neglect. He had an opportunity to stop what was about to happen. Go back and read it again. When it says Eve and her husband Adam with her, it didn't say he comes along afterwards. It says he was with her. So while she's having this conversation with the snake in the grass, as they like to say, while she's having this conversation, Adam is standing right there watching and listening and doing nothing. So let's bring this to something that we can understand. So say you marry, right? And you and your wife, y'all got good stuff in your house, and your house is happy, and everything is happy. You know, you got your own Garden of Eden. But then there's this one person that always comes around with mess, and they come whispering all the time to your wife, and they come hollering this or hollering that, or they whispering to your husband, whoever, always whispering. Remember, God gave Adam dominion over every living thing, which means this. All Adam had to do in the middle of that conversation, when Satan had eased himself up to Eve, you know how y'all used to do in the club when y'all see old girl at the bar? You eased yourself on up over that next to her. All Adam had to do was say, hey, bro, get somewhere. Not today. And because Satan was in the form of a snake, which is one of the things that was created, he would have had to obey because Adam was still in charge. And guess what? We'd still be naked in the garden. But no, Adam chose to sit back and say, well, let me just see what he's talking about. And then Satan knew what he was doing by going to Eve. You know why? Because God gave the instruction to Adam. He didn't give it to Eve. Adam instructed Eve, but God instructed Adam. So Satan said, no, I ain't going to go to the dude. I'm going to go to her, and I'm going to let her get to him. Now, y'all know the joke I used to tell all the time. My joke was, Eve bit that piece of fruit, and Adam said, what did you do? Adam said, I ain't going to eat that, and then Eve said, guess what? If you don't eat this, you don't get this. And Adam looked around at God and said, hey, wait. I see the monkeys over there and everybody. You don't look like them. Don't give me that fruit, girl. Toss that thing on. Y'all know I ain't right. Pray for me. Pray for me. But we need to recognize that we have the power and the ability to cut some of these things off. The writer concludes with this. He says, God is going to withhold something from you, guaranteed. Whatever that tree looks like in your life, realize that that tree is a doorway for the grace of God through Jesus Christ. There is nothing better than to be fully rely upon his word to sustain us in weakness. It is in those moments of desperate faith and dependence that Jesus is most magnified. Our God is a withholding God, and we should be very glad that he is. Amen. I love it. That's good stuff, man. That's good, man. I like that. That's good. So we ought to be glad. So think about it now. You know, I know people have been praying for some stuff and asking for some stuff, and you asking for this job, that job, and another. But we need to recognize that you know, maybe the reason God is withholding it, not denying, but delaying. Maybe the reason he's delaying some things is because you're not ready yet. It's because you're not ready yet. The reason you haven't gotten that car, that vehicle, because you ain't ready yet. The reason you ain't got that house, you ain't ready yet. The reason you haven't gotten that next big job, you ain't ready yet. It's not that he's saying no. He's just saying not yet. Now, some things he's saying no to, because he does say no. He told Paul no about removing that thorn. He told David no when David wanted to build the temple. He told David no. David was like, man, before I die, Lord, just let me build a temple. God said, no, David, you got too much blood on your hands, doc. You got too much blood on your hands. But watch what David said. David said, even though he told me no, I'm going to praise him anyway. And that's what we have to do. Even in the midst of us feeling disappointed because God is withholding something from us, we still need to go ahead and praise him anyway. Because you know what? God, I'm going to praise you for keeping it from me, because at the end of the day, you know better than I do. Just like I prayed to God. God, you know, I wish you would tell the peoples in Illinois to move our speed limit up to 94. God know they ain't going to kill somebody or himself if the speed limit was 94. Because if it's 94, I'm going to do 124. So he... Help me, pray for me. What I do, I'm gonna pray that God makes a bigger ox for the oxtail. That's my new prayer. I'm gonna pray. So anyway, it's about that time, y'all. It's been a wonderful show. Look, I thank all of y'all. I thank all of y'all for listening. Oh, man, y'all had Ustream on 10 today, and Facebook Live was all over the place, and all y'all on Blog Talk. This is wonderful. I'm glad I decided to do a little different. This is good. I appreciate y'all for watching and listening. To, you know what? You guys are the reason that we're able to stay on. And by the grace of God, you guys are the reason that we're able to stay on the air and continue to bring you news and informative information. And just, you know what? Just the flat out, unadulterated, unfiltered truth. It's said a little crazy, but at the end of the day, y'all can fact check me. It's the truth. So it's okay. But we're going to get out of here. Father God, we thank you right now, God. We bless your name. We lift your name, God. We just thank you for the time that we shared today, God. We thank you for each and every listener that was able to tune in, those who stayed the entire time and those who were only able to chime in for a few minutes. God, we thank you for every emailer, for every person in the chat room. We thank you for all of the people who watched on Ustream, Facebook, who listened on the Blog Talk via their phone or their mobile device. God, we just bless them, and we ask you to continue to keep them. Now, God, we thank you for this place that you've given us to broadcast from. We thank you for Kingdom Baptist Church and those who've allowed us to be on the air, God. We just thank you for this neighborhood that you've placed us in, God. Now we ask that you would continue to keep your loving arms of protection around this church and the community that we sit in, God, and give us the energy, the vigor, and the zeal to go out and do what you commanded us to do, which is to bring the lost to Christ. So we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look here, y'all. Y'all stay blessed, man. We will be back on Friday. Now look here, y'all. Friday. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but y'all know the show will be live. I do know that, but I'm going to be doing a show from the road. I don't know if my people will be in the studio, so you might not have the Ustream on Friday. I may do Facebook Live. But I'm about to do it because I'll be I'm bowling. So y'all pray for a brother, right? Because that first prize is $1,000. Now, y'all pray that God ain't withholding that from me. All right, y'all. Y'all pray. Y'all pray that he withholds that from the other 500 entrants. And that he don't withhold that from me. Y'all gonna pray that. But I'll be down in Motor City, down in Detroit, up there in Motown. So y'all pray for it, brother. I'll be hitting the road on Thursday morning. So all my peoples will still be here. But they're gonna help me run this show remotely from Detroit. So I will be broadcasting it live from there. But in the meantime, look here, y'all stay safe. And y'all know my saying, if you're in Chicago and you got to be in these streets, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here. Peace.